When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by, watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Finally, we focus again on God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Tuesday morning, I made hospital and nursing home visits. And each person I visited, we closed the visit with prayer, and we closed the prayer with the Lord's Prayer. And so four times Tuesday morning, once with someone in the hospital, once with someone who is very alert, whose body just doesn't want to work very well anymore, once with someone who's over 100 years old, and once with somebody who doesn't even know my face anymore, we prayed, "Thy kingdom come." What does it mean when we pray that? What does God's kingdom look like? What does it mean to pray for God's kingdom to come? Kyle gave us a little bit of a heads up from the Old Testament, from Jeremiah. "The days are surely coming," says the prophet, hundreds of years before Jesus is ever born. "The days are surely coming," says the Lord, "when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety, and this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. On this Christ the King Sunday, this last Sunday in the season of the church year, we are reminded of the lordship, the kingship, the reign of King Jesus. And we do so every year by reading a portion of the Passion story. This seems wrong, especially to those who have interest in worldly power. It seems wrong because it seems, from an earthly perspective, like Jesus failed. It's right here in the gospel text. Three times, people are coming up to Jesus at his crucifixion and saying, "So, you're the Messiah, huh? What's it like on the cross? Can you get yourself out of this one?" Think about the taunts. We just had our stained glass, our opus sectile windows redone. And so now you have a visual on Sunday mornings of the crucifixion. Imagine Jesus not being followed by large crowds of triumphant believers, but very much alone. Because nobody's getting a free lunch anymore. Jesus isn't coming to take out Rome. And yet it is on the cross where Jesus is declared king. The Gospel of Luke is unusual. I think the Gospel writer Luke is the kindest of all the gospel writers, because it's only from Luke where Jesus says, "Father, forgive them." The powers of the world colluded with the powers of the church and crucified Jesus. The end of his earthly ministry looked like an utter failure. You think about it. There was nothing triumphant about seeing your leader crucified. And yet this is where Jesus triumphed. At the cross. He made a choice. All of those people who were taunting him said, "Get yourself out of this one. And while you're at it, get us out of this too." But he didn't choose power. He chose forgiveness. He chose the suffering. He chose the cross. Why on earth would he do that? Because his message, his entire life, was love, healing, and forgiveness. I want to point out something in these windows that I hadn't really noticed before. In the center window, do you Jesus is holding a banner. You might have to come up closer after the service if you can't see this right now. It's a white banner with a red cross in the middle. It's been known since about the Middle Ages as the Resurrection Banner. Jesus doesn't appear at the empty tomb like Superman or Batman or any of the other superheroes. He appears at the empty tomb with his wounds intact. Here's something beautiful that maybe only Mary Montana knows. The white garments. Do you notice now something you might not have noticed before? The windows were clean. The white garments mimic that resurrection banner. But again, it's not a banner of triumph. It's a banner of resurrection. Not triumph of power over weakness, but a triumph of suffering over death, a triumph of love over death. When John had his vision in Revelation, and he was coming up to the seventh seal and said, "Who can even open this? Nobody is worthy." And there appeared what seemed to be the Lion of Judah. And again, everybody thought, "All right, power. Power's going to win." And he got closer. And that lion was actually the Lamb who was slain, the Lamb of God, the innocent, priceless Lamb of God. As you go out this morning, look at the middle window, the John the Baptist window just over where Johnsons are sitting. There's a picture of a lamb. It's the lamb that was slain. And it's carrying the same resurrection banner that Jesus is holding there. Thy kingdom come has nothing to do with earthly power. It has to do with our Lord and Savior, who chose love, who chose sacrifice, who allowed himself to stand with the weak and the outcast. Thy kingdom come. Remember when you were a little kid and you sang, "I'm in the Lord's army"? I don't remember all the words anymore. Being in the Lord's army is to stand with the hungry. How many meals did we pack up this weekend? How many Thanksgiving baskets? Judy? Is it 29? We served over 63 people this weekend. Your generosity, which helps the hungry have Thanksgiving. Stand with the sick. Stand with those imprisoned. Stand with those who are outcast. What does it say to say, "Jesus is my Lord"? We can't stand with earthly power and say, Jesus is my Lord, without thinking about it twice. What does it mean? Jesus is my Lord. Jesus went to the cross to show his great love for the whole world. Today we proclaim him our King. May we always carry that resurrection banner with us, but not in hollow shouts of triumph, but with a depth of gratitude. Jesus showed us the way of the kingdom of God. Jesus did this for us, that we too might have life. This gospel could well be titled The Story of Two Thieves. Picture, if you will, those two thieves on the cross. One of them is still all cocky. He's like, I got nothing to lose. Jesus, how's that love your neighbor thing working for you? Get us off of here if you've got the power. Just picture the cockiness. So you think you're the Son of God? You think you're something? Get us down from here. Jesus doesn't respond to that. But the other thief says, you know, you and me, we've got this coming. We are sinners, as we all are. We are sinners. We deserve this, but he does not. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It wasn't a hollow shout of triumphalism. It was the plea of a sinner who somehow knew that Jesus' kingdom was different than all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, what? Today, you will be with me in paradise. So as we listen to the news, as we talk with our neighbors, as we sit around and drink coffee, let us, as followers of Jesus, let us, as those who say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, live under the Lordship of Jesus, grateful, like the sinner on the cross who was promised paradise. We are the sinners who are promised paradise. Let's not forget that when we pray, Thy kingdom come. Amen.